one of the shortest accounts that we have of the Lord's instituting his table is found in the gospel according to Mark. I like things concise, don't you? And to the point, and this was how the Lord directed Mark to write about this. Not that the other gospel writers were simply writing according to their whim. Each one of the gospels is purposed to explain the other and give us a full picture. But here in Mark, the Lord had already instructed his disciples. This was on the eve of his death when the Passover lamb was sacrificed. And he told them to go into the city, and there they would find an upper room. I like the word that's used in Mark 14:15. The master of the house seemed to be one of the Lord's that the Lord directed to prepare for this Passover a large upper room. Large means plenty of room. But furnished and prepared, already done. And there make ready for us. Well, that's a picture of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and how large is his work and his gospel. And yet it was prepared for a few, not for everybody, a few. If the Lord has enabled us to enter in, that's whose table it is. It's the Lord's table, but it's not olly-olly in free. Anybody come and partake if you wish. No, it's as the Lord draws and teaches. This is for his own. And so his disciples went forth and came in the city, and guess what? They found as he had said unto them. Amazing. This is who we serve, a Lord that knows the end from the beginning because he's determined the end from the beginning. There's not one detail that ever takes place in our lives or anybody else's but what he has already determined it. And it comes to pass as he says. And there they made ready the Passover. Now in the evening, he cometh with the 12. At this particular point, it was to celebrate the Passover, the Old Testament Passover. And Judas was still with them for that part. Here it says, and as they sat and did eat, so on that Passover table, there would have been a roasted lamb. That was part of the preparation. There would have been some wine. There would have been some unleavened bread. It was important to be unleavened. That's what we have here in our hand, being without sin, unleavened. And then there would have been some herbs on the old Passover table. So they sat and ate, passed the bread, drank the wine. And the Lord said, verily, I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. So here were the 12. Now this was not a surprise to the Lord. The Lord had chosen the 12, but he'd already said in the Gospel of John that one of you is a son of perdition, chosen to accomplish his will, to betray him. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? Some say that even Judas was not aware of what he was about to do and perhaps even asked that question, but not for the same reason. We don't know. Here it just simply says unto one, he said, is it I? And the other said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. Notice, as it is written of him. There wasn't one thing that they did to our Lord, but what it was already written of him. When people ask, well, how come you spend so much time in the Old Testament? To find out what has already been written of him. That's why we go back there. See how he fulfilled the law. How he obeyed it to God the Father's satisfaction. To such a degree, not just in word and deed, but the very spirit of the law. That God should be just and justify, as it is written. But woe to that man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. You know how people betray Christ today? People say, oh, I will never betray Christ. Well, you betray him every time you attribute to yourself some sort of thought or work or merit, something you think deserving of God's favor, you betray the Son of God. Paul wrote there in Galatians 2:21 that if righteousness come by law, and law means any kind of personal obedience or self-effort, Christ is dead in vain. You make the blood of Christ to be of none effect. That's a serious thing right there. And that's what Judas did. He was to betray Christ and have him crucified, and yet at the time he did it, had little significance to him. It was just like swatting a fly. But in the end, he didn't have repentance. He had what? Remorse. That's what happens when God gives sinners over to themselves. They might have remorse over their sin. They might have remorse over certain thoughts and deeds, but repentance only God can grant. And that he does to those for whom Christ paid the debt. He says, good were it that man, for that man, if he had never been born. He's talking now in human terms. You see certain ones that are born and live in this world, and you wonder why on earth the Lord ever put them here. Well, he put them here for his purpose. And they'll live and die as he has purposed. But there are many that think, I wish I'd never been born. Perhaps he was already expressing Judas's thoughts without Judas ever saying it. And here's the part then, I love the simplicity of what we're about here. And God help us to always celebrate the Lord's table in simplicity and in truth. The Lord gave us two elements. He gave us the bread and he gave us the wine as a picture. Not to add to it, not to try to spruce it up, try to make it more beautiful. He simply says, and as they did eat, so they were eating the Passover meal, that he took bread and blessed and broke it. How was he blessing it? How was he breaking it? Now that his disciples would see that this was a picture of his body. A body hast thou prepared for me. Not a very beautiful picture when you look at it. Couldn't he have given us a better picture? Nope. Just your asking that shows how blindly you consider these things. This is what he has given us. Not pictures to hang on the wall, not artist designs, not all these symbols you see in religion, but a simple, unleavened piece of bread. That's the picture Christ gave himself. He's the bread of life. And yet it shows his humiliation coming to this earth in the flesh for one reason, that he should lay down his life. So he took and bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. When he says this is my body, it doesn't transform into his body, but it's a picture, it's a type of his body. Some want to go so far as to say it actually, if we pray over it, it becomes the body of Christ. And now you're taking magically this body into your body. No, it's still a picture, but it's who it represents. That's what's vital. But it's not just having been made flesh. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that's why here in verse 23, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the, what, New Testament. All things new. The old has been put away, fulfilled. The New Testament, which is shed for many. And he said, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. When did he drink it new in the kingdom of God? It was when he was raised from the dead. When he walked on the road to Emmaus and sat down and broke bread and drank wine with those disciples that night, and suddenly their eyes were open. They'd been holding to that point, but all of a sudden they realized, my Lord, my God. And then he passed on and went elsewhere. His kingdom is now. We're not awaiting this kingdom. When he rose from the grave and ascended on high, Peter declared in Acts 2 that he sat down on that throne of David. He is that seed now reigning. We're not awaiting for him to come and reign again one day. No, he is reigning right now. And when the last of those that he came and redeemed and God justified by his blood is brought into the fold, there's no more reason for this world to exist. Those that have gone before us, they're in his presence right now, rejoicing, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Here we sit in this world looking by faith to him, but the day's coming when we'll be ushered into his presence and join that mighty throng of the redeemed, singing what? "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." That's what it's all about. And that's why we rejoice. But for now, he's with us. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. I'm thankful and pray that he continue to be with us. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these emblems that you have left us of your body and your blood. Thank you for the truth that they represent of you taking on flesh and bearing the sin of your people unto death, that you might be a just God and Savior. Oh, how we rejoice. And we give you praise, honor, and glory in his precious name. Amen.